Hey moms, welcome to this episode of the Dorenda Wilson Podcast. I'm Dorenda Wilson, wife to one, mom to eight, nana to nine, and 26-year veteran homeschooling mom. I'm also the author of The Unhurried Homeschooler, a simple, mercifully short book on homeschooling, The 4-Hour School Day, How You and Your Kids Can Thrive in the Homeschool Life, and Unhurried Grace for a Mom's Heart, a devotional written specifically for homeschool moms. If you enjoyed The Unhurried Homeschooler, you will also love The 4-Hour School Day because it's kind of like an expanded version of The Unhurried Homeschooler. So if you haven't checked that out, be sure to do that. You can find all three of these books at Amazon. You can find them at DorendaWilson.com, and you can find The 4-Hour School Day at any of your favorite booksellers in addition to the places that I mentioned. I'd also love for you to check out my favorite homeschooling magazine, Homeschooling Today. Listen in for a few more details about this fantastic resource. When it comes to homeschooling, isn't it discouraging to see so much on social media that simply doesn't match your reality? Life is messy. Kids can be exhausting. School doesn't always go as planned. Sometimes we all need some real encouragement, some real, truly practical help. That's one of the reasons I write for Homeschooling Today magazine. The entire team at Homeschooling Today wants you to know that messy, exhausting, imperfect homeschooling is an incredibly beautiful thing because it's real life as we take an unhurried, bold approach to homeschooling our kids. An approach that says, I won't compare my homeschool to others. I'll teach the kids God has given me in the way that He leads me to do it. I want to encourage you to check out Homeschooling Today magazine. It is an amazing resource for the unhurried homeschooling mom. In this episode, I share briefly just a few somewhat unconventional thoughts on therapy. And I realized that after I recorded this episode that I may have unintentionally sent a message that therapy wasn't useful or to minimize the usefulness or helpfulness of therapy. And nothing could be further from the truth. We have used therapy in the past and it was very helpful for that season. I think my biggest caution in all of it is to never lose touch with your instinct that God has given you for your particular child and in determining whether or not a therapy is actually going to be helpful for your child or not. Of course, that is a very personal decision. I think my other caution would be never, and I mentioned this in the episode, never to allow therapy to replace parenting or to replace your role as a parent. And so that's something that has to be thoughtfully and prayerfully considered. And so that was my main concern and my main caution in mentioning that. The other thing that I talked about was the fact that I'm thankful that we didn't ever do any evaluations up to this point for our son. And I explained some of the reasons in the episode. But I think one of the other things I wanted to mention is that not having a diagnosis, and granted, you know, everyone has to walk that journey the way that God leads you to walk it. But I'm thankful that we prayerfully considered whether or not we should get extra help or get an evaluation and felt like the Lord was saying no for us. And I'm really, really grateful for that because throughout all of those years, we simply looked at our son for who he was. There were no labels, there were no, you know, there was nothing to divert us from just seeing who God had made him to be and really trying to mine out the gifts and the uniquenesses that were his and then, you know, temper some of the things that needed to be tempered. And so I just wanted to share those few thoughts with you. I hope you enjoy this episode. Well, today I'm joining you from my closet. Most of you know that we just moved and my she shed was actually just moved today. That's where I usually do my podcast episodes, but it's sitting out there. It's very hot and there's nothing in the she shed. So the sound would be terrible. And my son who edits my podcast said, if you can just record in your closet, that would be great. So if y'all could see me right now,
It's quite the sight. Surrounded by some boxes and some clothes hung up, some on the floor. The doors are closed. I'm in here with a little lamp and my microphone and my computer. But I wanted to bring this episode to you because it's something that the Lord has really been laying on my heart over the last few days. Now, most of you know that our son has been having some struggles and we had some evaluations done. We've actually had several done over the last couple of weeks. And I talked with my husband and he still wasn't comfortable with sharing details. And I'm sure that you all understand that. But it's essentially a disability of sorts. And the interesting thing is that I'm not actually terribly surprised. I pretty much have known throughout his whole life that he probably had this particular disability, but it was never something that I felt like I needed to go and get diagnosed. And the only reason that I can tell you that that was the case is because I would periodically pray and I would ask the Lord, should I get some, you know, outside help? Should we get an evaluation of sorts? If he needs something that he's not getting, or is going to need, down the road, and we need to pay attention to this, please show me. Please lead us into that. And, you know, one thing that I can tell you is that over the years, God has been so faithful to answer those prayers. And I've seen it with my other kids as well, where I wasn't sure if I should do something or not do something, or worried I was missing something. And so I would just pray and say, Lord, if I'm missing something, please show me. You love these kids more than I do. Please just give me wisdom. And a lot of times it would just be crickets, silence, quiet. And I thought, you know, there's a reason for that. God knows. He knows that we as parents our dust, and he knows when the time is right for us to do those kinds of things. And I think it's very easy in our culture, our self-help culture, to jump really quickly into a lot of that, into that world of evaluations and diagnoses and all of that. And so I only share that with you because I feel like it just really aligns with what God has led our family, or led my husband and I specifically, in as we've raised our kids. And something that I've encouraged in parents, listen to what God is telling you to do with your children. Now, I just spoke with another mom who's about 10 years ahead of me, has 8 children, and all of her kids as adults, or at least most of them, from what I understand, have received a diagnosis for a type of disability, but she never had them tested throughout all those years. And I'm not sure why, but I could understand what happens. For me, it was this. What happens is once we get a diagnosis, all of a sudden, we often feel afraid. We feel intimidated by this diagnosis. But we have to remember that a diagnosis is a description. It is not a defining term. We still have to choose faith over fear. We want to choose faith and we want to be teachable because God promises to give us wisdom. James 1 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he believes, he must not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he'll receive anything from the Lord because he's double-minded in all that he does. So what happens, that description is so perfect. When we begin to fear, we doubt, is God actually going to give me what I need? Because I don't have a degree. I don't have, you know, the knowledge, the education to, you know, figure out everything that's going on with my child. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's not the most important thing. Your child is known by you, but more importantly, your child is known by the creator of the universe. He knit that child together in your womb or in someone else's, if you were foster or adopting or whatever, but God knit that child together. And he specifically wired this child this way. And he has a purpose and a plan. And so we need to go back to leaning not on our own understanding, but trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. I can't emphasize that enough, because what happens is once we get the diagnosis, like I said, we become intimidated by it, especially as homeschooling parents. You know, parents with, you know, just neurotypical, atypical children struggle with that. But this is, when you receive a diagnosis, it's like that same thing only on steroids. And this is where the enemy can easily get a foothold, and we lose sight of God's plans and purposes for our family, for our child's future. Yes, sometimes adjustments need to be made based on what we now know is going on with our child, but God will be glorified in all of it as we lean into Him and ask Him for wisdom. We don't allow ourselves to be pushed into anything. We wait on the Lord. We wait patiently for Him to give us direction. So I'm going to share some principles with you that the Lord has just been laying on my heart. These are principles that are true whether you have a child with a disability or not. But I think that we really need to remember that they're also true if your child has a disability. These principles don't change because they are biblical principles. Now, I'm going to also say that I am not speaking from a vast knowledge of being a parent of children with disabilities, but rather, I'm sharing principles that hold true because they are based on God's word. The methods may vary, but that's true from child to child anyway. They just may vary more extreme for your disabled child, but it's not impossible. I think this is so important. We need to remember that God's word doesn't change because we have kids with disabilities. I feel like the world has really pushed that perspective, like, okay, well, your religion is fine, but you've got this situation, and it's just not going to fit. It's not going to work. The enemy would love for us to believe that. So I hope that today, as I share some thoughts that the Lord has laid on my heart, that you will find comfort and peace and just more clarity of heart and mind. The first thing that I want you to remember is that God did not make a mistake when He created your child. I'm going to say that again. God did not make a mistake. The world has this idea that if a child is different in any way, that there's something to be fixed. They're a problem to be solved. Are you kidding me? These children have abilities that other people don't have, and our job is to mine those abilities, to pay attention to what they are capable of, what God does have for them, not what He doesn't have for them. God did not make a mistake. He intentionally placed these children in our families at this specific time and in their specific place in the family. And yes, it can be difficult. It can be a challenge to make the adjustments that need to be made. But I am telling you right now, God does all things well. There are reasons, good reasons. We don't always know all the reasons, but I can share some very possible reasons. Well, actually reasons that I'm pretty sure are reasons that God has placed disabled children into our families. The first is to teach us. There's so much to learn from these children and in these situations. My goodness, He teaches us to know the grace and the mercy and the wisdom of God as we cling to Him even more tightly, because we have to. It's an opportunity to know Him better, to know His heart better, because His heart is for us. His heart is for our children. And when you have a child with disabilities, the world's heart isn't really for them. But God's heart always is 100% for them and for you. He does all things well. And how about our children, our other children? It can be easy to think that we're somehow slighting our other children. And yes, we do need to be careful that we are not putting the disabled child on a pedestal or as the almost an idol in our home, because every single thing revolves around this child. And I'll be talking more about that in just a minute. But I believe God wants to teach our other children just like he wants to teach us. He wants to teach them to know the grace and the mercy and the wisdom of God, to learn to cling to him as they adapt and adjust and learn to be gracious. And we can encourage that. They can learn so much from their relationship with that sibling. But also, our children will learn to love people of all shapes and sizes and abilities. They end up growing a grace that the average child in an average family without disabled siblings won't learn. They learn, they can actually learn these things to a degree that those children may not. The other thing we need to think about, and I've seen this happen over and over again, is I have seen the siblings of families with disabled children go on to do things in their lives that were related or were helped by. So they go into a profession or they go into a walk of life or a job or a ministry because of what they learned from that disabled child while they were growing up. They end up having a heart for them and they end up having this amazing ripple effect in the world. Think about that. So our disabled children can be equipping our other children to do amazing things. And the other thing that I want you to remember, God is writing our family's story. It is so easy to, especially when we first realize that things aren't going to be exactly the way or even close to the way that we had envisioned them, there's a time to grieve. There's a time to, I believe that grieving is like adjusting from what you thought was going to be to what actually is going to be. And we need to pray through that and ask the Lord to give us the ability, the willingness to embrace the story that he is writing for our families. It is so easy to want to grab that pen and write the story for him instead of letting him unfold the story. This is part of our journey. This is part of our family story, and it was written before the beginning of time. And so the best thing we can do is embrace it and move with it. God is writing the story. We're the characters in the story. Let's walk out what he has ordained for us because it's going to be beautiful. So some things that I think are important to remember about our disabled children is that I believe it's important to see them as saints, to see them as sufferers, and to see them as sinners, just like we would see our children that don't have disabilities. There are going to be times that they suffer. There are going to be things that they struggle with. So it's important to understand that even though the suffering is different and can be more intense with our disabled children, it is still something that God wants to use. So when I talk about remembering that our children are saints, the one thing that I felt very strongly about as our kids were growing up was that it was important to include and treat all of my children, all of our children, as though they were part of the body of Christ. I was doing that by faith. I treated them, I trained them as though they were already brothers and sisters in Christ. And that was an act of faith on my part. And the thing I think that's really interesting that we have to remember is as we do that, our kids feel like they are part of something bigger than themselves when we give them that kind of, when we treat them in that way. And I think it's important that they have that sense of community with our, in our family and within our churches, because when they grow up with that, the chances of them wanting to leave that will be minimal. And our children with disabilities are no different. We need to include and treat them as part of the body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ by faith. Yes, there may be a simplicity to how that looks. It won't be as maybe complex or deep as it might be with children who don't have disabilities, but it is still that. It is still something that I think that we should pursue. And then in terms of suffering, I think you know, I mentioned earlier, just like all of us suffer, our children suffer, and our disabled children suffer. We need to remember that that is not an excuse for sin. We still have a responsibility to train our disabled children to the best of our ability and to the best of their ability. So what does the scripture say to children? It says that they need to honor and obey mom and dad. So children being disrespectful to mom and dad because they have, let's just say, an obsession or a compulsion, maybe they're struggling with OCD, that is where we would draw the line and say, I understand that this compulsion is very strong and this obsession is very strong, but right now it is causing you to do something that does not honor God, and that is you are disrespecting dad or you're disrespecting mom or you're dishonoring your siblings. And we need to deal with that. And it may take longer and it may take a lot of repetition, but I think we need to make sure that we are parenting those disabled children like we would parent our other children, but with adjustments and maybe changing the methods. But the goal is still the same. The goal is the same. We want to help those children glorify God in their day to day. And when they have responsibilities, they may be small responsibilities, but they need to have some responsibilities. It could be the smallest thing, like maybe putting on their own shoes or getting dressed without being told. You as a parent will know better than anybody what is going to, how much to press. But we need to be careful that we are not accommodating our children, disabled children, so much that they never grow, that we actually enable them and keep them in the same place. We don't want to do that. And that can happen easily because we're fearful. So we need to speak very strongly to fear, and we need to live the truth and live by faith. And that's one thing that this situation, these circumstances call us to grow like leaps and bounds in these areas. And it is an honor. It is truly an honor because God is saying, this is what I have for you. And I want to work in your heart and I want to use you in this child's life and then also in other people's lives as we grow in our knowledge and understanding of God's will for our disabled children. We can share that with other people. But again, their disabilities are not an excuse for sin. Still need to honor mom and dad, tend to their responsibilities, and they do have a certain amount of responsibility and things. Now, I realize I'm probably talking to parents with a huge range of disabilities, from very minor to very major. So again, you are the parent. I'm just encouraging you to prayerfully consider just being careful about being faithful to raise those disabled children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He gives us wisdom. He will show us what that looks like. You know, and although these disabled children, their relationship with God may look different, we still need to shepherd them. That is what we're called to as parents. The scripture defines that very, very clearly. We're to be talking to them about the Lord and his principles when we get up and when we go along the way and when we lie down. It's the same for those children, okay? And again, that may look different, but the principle is still the same. I hope you're getting that message. We're talking about principles, and then God gives you wisdom. It's your responsibility to pray about what those methods actually look like. And don't let other people push you into what they think it's supposed to look like, because that happens very easily, especially if you have therapists and different people working with you. We have to be very, very, very careful. So speaking of therapists, I was having a conversation with a therapist at an evaluation last week, and I wasn't actually sure what this therapy was. Like, I knew the name, but I didn't know what it meant, and I needed her to explain it to me. And so she proceeded to explain what this therapy was, and as I'm listening to her, I'm thinking, okay. And finally, I just said to her, you know, this therapy sounds actually like parenting. And I said, I'm not interested in passing my parenting off to a therapist. that's my role. That's my job, is to be the parent. And I can't even remember what she said after that, but I do know that there was this strong sense that just kept this sentence that kept coming to my mind, and it was, no amount of therapy can replace good parenting. Moms and dads, we are called to parent these children, and we can't be intimidated by the fact that God gave us these children and then react out of fear. I think it's humbling. It's very humbling, and I think it's a beautiful thing, because when we, what does the scripture say about humility? It says that, you know, basically those who humble themselves, that God will lift them up in due time. And so, again, no amount of therapy can replace good parenting. We have to shepherd our children, our disabled children, as passionately as we shepherd our other children. Now, I listened to a talk called Shepherding the Simple, and it cost a few dollars to listen to, and it was on the website that I've mentioned before. It's a Christian counseling website. 95% of what I've found there has been solidly biblical, but again, I recommend it with the caveat that I haven't listened to every single thing on that site, so I can't support it 100%, but there is a lot of really great things there. And this particular talk was excellent. It's called Shepherding the Simple, and I think it's super, super helpful. So I'll leave the link in the show notes. But one of the things that God has just been illuminating to me this week, and it's really helped me turn a corner in terms of knowing how to respond to what's going on with our son. And what this was is that there's actually a major spiritual battle going on for the heart of our son. And it's my job and my husband's job to stand in the gap and equip my child to the best of his ability and best of my ability and best of his ability. Because here's the thing, moms and dads, the enemy doesn't care if your children are disabled. He preys on the vulnerable. And we may have to protect them in more ways and for longer than we would our other children, because it's like we would be, because it's like they're small children longer or for the duration. And so we have to protect them as though they are younger children. So the enemy preys on the vulnerable. I remember when we lost our first grandchild, it was just completely a surprise. It was not expected. He was stillborn, and, or we like to say, born sleeping. And I remember during the grieving process, the Lord just brought to my mind, he said, Dorinda, the enemy does not care if you're grieving. In fact, this is the time when he's going to try to get a foothold. And so I think it's important for us to recognize that the enemy, what the enemy means for evil, God can use for good. So the enemy may work really hard to get a foothold somewhere in these circumstances of us parenting this disabled child. But the flip side is that God can take it and make it a beautiful thing and glorify himself in it. But our awareness of those possibilities has got to be actually amped up in these circumstances, because, like I said, the enemy preys on the vulnerable. But the thing we need to remember as parents is this. Isaiah 40 verse 11 says, he will lead his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms and gently lead those who are with young. So having a disabled child is like having a young child. And God is promising to gently shepherd us as we shepherd our children or our child. So, you know, where this promise might seem like it ends when your child is 18 and grown, you don't have small children anymore. If you have a disabled child, this promise is going to hold true for you for the duration. I'm going to read it again. He will lead his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms and gently lead those who are with young. God wants to shepherd you as you shepherd your disabled child. Now, you need to remember also, and I need to remember, we do not have to do this perfectly. Sometimes we feel like because the child is disabled, we've got to do everything perfectly or we're going to ruin them, right? Wrong. Absolutely wrong. The same grace and mercy, in fact, more grace and mercy, is poured out upon us as we walk this journey out. So we're not going to do this perfectly. But again, we can be more vulnerable to mom guilt, only mom guilt on steroids. Let's not go there. Let's not go there, because that is where the enemy wants to get a foothold. Lean into the grace that God has for you. And he has grace upon grace upon grace for us as we raise and care for these disabled children. And you know what else? He promises to carry the heaviest part of the load. You remember that scripture where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He talks about coming and learning from him. Learning from him. So he wants to shepherd us as we shepherd our children. But one of the main thoughts in that passage is that he is promising to carry the heaviest part of the load. So when you feel like you are just so burdened, stop and give it to the Lord, and remind yourself as you pray out and cry out to him, "Lord, you promise to carry the heaviest part of the load. Would you please let me know that? Let me feel that physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually." Remember, moms, dads, your child is fearfully and wonderfully made. And God created him or her with these specific uniquenesses, but also with plans and purposes in mind. They're not just something to be endured. There's something to thrive. There are parts of them and uniquenesses to them. And it's our job to mine those out with the help of the Holy Spirit. And God will slowly reveal those plans and purposes as our journey unfolds. You know, when you have a disabled child, it's much harder to envision what does the future look like for this child. But you know what? That makes it even that much more of a faith walk. But I can also say that it can really be helpful to ask the Lord to give you his eyes to see your child the way he sees them. And then watch as God reveals beautiful things as this journey unfolds. So there are a few things that I'm finding helpful to remember, and some of these were things that I read in Shepherding the Simple. So the first is that, yes, we will definitely need to accommodate those children, but we need to do so without enabling. And only God can show us what that looks like. Now, there's some ways that we might need to accommodate, or maybe the amount of time it takes to communicate a thought or idea. And this is where unhurried homeschooling has seriously worked across the board for all of our kids. I'm pretty sure I have a couple other kids who would have been diagnosed with other things, like possibly like ADHD, or I don't know. I just know that because we had margin in our day and I left time and space for them, for we had some directed learning that we slowly eased into when they were younger, and we just continued to move forward. And that's what I did with our youngest, and he continued to make progress. We never ran into obstacles that we couldn't really overcome. We adjusted, we accommodated, and he continued to move forward just like all of our children did. And that's one of the reasons I never felt like I needed to go get an evaluation, because he continued to make progress. And so this whole unhurried approach, it's one of the things that's so beautiful about it, is that we adapt and adjust to each child. And we don't overschedule. We don't put in so many activities that we are just a hot mess and they're a hot mess. We keep a simple routine. And I have a podcast on our family simple routine, and I'll include that link in the show notes. But we need that margin because we may need to take extra time to communicate a thought or idea. We may have to accommodate to their way of speaking, you know, to word things in a specific way that we know they're going to understand. Also, we can accommodate ways to make lessons tactile, specifically spiritual lessons, because we really, really want to shepherd those children and disciple them. And if you know, out of everything we're teaching them, we want them to know God's word and his ways. And so we may have to accommodate that into tactile type lessons. Okay, so we're accommodating without enabling. Also involving them in family life as in as many ways as we can. Again, we want them to feel part of something bigger than themselves. They need to participate, even if it's at a minimal level, okay? So we're accommodating without enabling. We're involving them as much as possible in daily life, in church life. And then thirdly, we are protecting them through meaningful relationships. And most of you, if you have disabled children, you know that they are vulnerable to being deceived by people who will want to hurt or use them. This can be on the internet. This can be in social situations. We can best protect them first by prayer, but also by giving them meaningful relationships with us, their siblings, and friends that we trust, or, you know, people at church that we trust. So we're going to be protective of them, and we're going to encourage meaningful relationships between the siblings and them, between us and them. And this is where our role as biblical parents is super important, where we're holding to biblical standard. They're not going to disrespect, dishonor us or their siblings, and vice versa. The siblings aren't going to treat them poorly either. We're going to be examples to each other. We're going to treat each other as the body of Christ. And then lastly, entrust them daily to the Lord. I was just crying out to the Lord this morning, God, help me to be faithful. Help me to be faithful to follow your lead throughout the day. Because what I'm finding is there's not a lot of hard, fast rules that I can use right now, except the biblical ones, the basic biblical framework. Not going to speak disrespectfully to me. Let's try that again. It doesn't matter what's happening right now. This is not okay. But doing, you know, and then as we work through our day and different things come up, I'm stopping and praying, Lord, would you please show me what to do here? And so the same circumstance one day, I might respond one way. The Lord would have me respond one way. And the next day, it's going to be a little bit different based on other things that are going on, just the Lord's lead. So it's definitely an opportunity to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. I love Lamentations 3:25-26. It says, "The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The salvation of the Lord is being worked out in our lives, but it's also being worked out in our children's lives and in our disabled children's lives. And so we are patiently and quietly waiting for the salvation of the Lord. Of course, we are actively involved, but we are also understanding that this is God's work that he is doing. Ask God to give you his eyes to see your child the way he does. And lastly, I want to leave you with Matthew 19:26, because parenting can seem challenging and sometimes impossible. Parenting disabled children can even be more so, can feel even more so. But Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible." God can bring order to your home. Yes, this child may be taking attention right now, and you may be working hard to figure things out, but find a rhythm. Find a rhythm in your home that is conducive to a strong family life, because that child is part of that. And so ask God to give you wisdom as to how to work that out don't look at it as though it's impossible because your child is disabled and it's just wrecking everything, because it can feel like that sometimes. But that is a lie from the enemy. So I'm going to read the truth one more time. Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, everything is possible. Matthew 19:26. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we first of all just want to thank you and praise you that you have fearfully and wonderfully made our children. And you have fearfully and wonderfully made our disabled children. And you have very sovereignly and intentionally ordained them to be part of our families. God, I ask that you would give us eyes to see those children the way that you see them, to even be able to envision the future for them. Show us what our goals are each day as we're working with our children so that we don't lose sight of what you have for them. God, help us to have open hands to fully receive these children and to fully receive this mission that you have given us and our families. And God, help us to refuse to allow the enemy to get any kind of foothold in our hearts and in our children's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.